most wise lad Ulysses here discovered the fever whereof all our power is sick.
The nature of the sick is found, Ulysses. What is the remedy?
The great Achilles, whom opinion crowns the sinew and the forehand of our host, having his ear full of his airy fame, grows dainty of his worth, and in his tent lies mocking our designs. With him Patroclus, upon a lazy bed the livelong day, breaks scurril jests, and with ridiculous and awkward action, which slanderer he imitation calls, he pageants us. Sometime, great Agamemnon, thy topless deputation he puts on. And like a strutting player whose conceit lies in his hamstring, and to think it rich to hear the wooden dialogue and sound twixt the stretched footing and the scaffoldage, such to be pitied and o'er-rested seeming, he acts thy greatness in. And when he speaks, 'tis like a chime amending with terms unsquared, which from the tongue of roaring Typhon dropped would seem hyperboles. At this fusty stuff, the large Achilles on his pressed bed lolling, from his deep chest laughs out a loud applause.
Cries, excellent! 'Tis Agamemnon just. Now play me Nestor. And struck thy beard as he being dressed to some oration.
Well, that's done, as near as the extremest ends of parallels, as like as Vulcan and his wife. Yet God Achilles still cries, excellent, is Nestor right? And now play him me, Patroclus, arming to answer in a night alarm. And then, forsooth, the faint defects of age must be the scene of mirth, to cough and spit, and with a palsy fumbling on its gorget, shaking out the rivet.
And at this sport, Sir Valor dies. Cries, oh, enough, Patroclus, or give me ribs of steel, I shall split all in pleasure of my spleen.
And in this fashion, all our abilities, gifts, natures, shapes, severals and generals of grace exact, achievements, plots, orders, preventions, excitements to the field, or speech for truce, success or loss, what is or is not, serves as stuff for these two to make paradoxes.
And in the imitation of these twain, whom, as Ulysses says, opinion crowns with an imperial voice, many are in fact. Ajax is gross self-willed and bears his head in such a way, in full as proud a place as broad Achilles, keeps his tent like him, makes factious feasts, rails on our state of war, bold as an oracle, and sets the Cites, a slave whose gall coins slander like a mint, to match us in comparisons with dirt, to weaken and discredit our exposure, our ranks so'er rounded in with danger.
They tax our policy and call it cowardice. Oh, Count Wisdom is no member of the war. Forestall prescience and esteem no act but that of hand. The still and mental parts that do contrive how many hands shall strike when fitness calls them on, and know by measure of their observant toil the enemy's weight, why, this hath not a finger's dignity. They call this bedwork, mappery, closet war. So that the ram that batters down the wall for the great swing and rudeness of his poise, they place before his hand that made the engine. Or those that with the fineness of their souls by reason guides his execution.
Let this be granted, and Achilles' horse makes many Thetis sons.
What from it? Look, Menelaus.
From Troy.
What would you for our tent?
Is this great Agamemnon's tent, I pray you?
Even this.
May one that is a herald and a prince do a fair message to his kingly ears.
With surety stronger than Achilles' arm for all the Greekish heads, which with one voice call Agamemnon head and general.
Fair leave and large security. How may a stranger to those most imperial looks know them from eyes of other mortals?
How?
I ask that I might waken reverence and on the cheek be ready with a blush modest as morning when she coldly eyes the youthful Phoebus. Which is that god in office guiding men? Which is the Agamemnon?
This Trojan scorns us. All the men of Troy are ceremonious courtiers.
Courtiers as free as debonair, unarmed as bending angels, that's their fame in peace. But when they would seem soldiers, they have Gauls, good arms, strong joints, true swords, and Jove's accord, nothing so full of heart. But peace in ears, peace, Troy, and lay thy finger on thy lips. The worthiness of praise disdains his worth, if that the praised himself bring the praise forth. But what the repining enemy commends, that breath fame blows, that praise so pure transcends.
Sir, you of Troy, call you yourself Aeneas?
Aye, Greek. That is my name.
What's your affair, I pray you?
Sir, pardon. 'Tis for Agamemnon's ears.
He hears not privately that comes from Troy.
Nor I from Troy come not to whisper him. I bring a trumpet to awake his ear, to set his sense on the attentive bent, and then to speak.
Speak frankly as the wind. It is not Agamemnon's sleeping hour. That thou shalt know, Troyan, he is awake. He tells thee so himself.
Ah. Trumpet, blow loud. Send thy brass voice through all these lazy tents, and every Greek of metal let him know what Troy means fairly shall be spoke aloud. We have great Agamemnon here in Troy, a prince called Hector, a Priam is his father, who in this dull and long-continued truce is rusty grown. He bade me take a trumpet and to this purpose speak. The kings, princes, lords, if there be one amongst the fairest of Greece that holds his honour higher than his ease, that seeks his praise more than he fears his peril, that knows his valour and knows not his fear, that loves his mistress more than in confession with true and vows to her own lips he loves, and dare avow her beauty and her worth in other arms than hers, to him this challenge, Hector, in view of Trojans and of Greeks, shall make it good, or do his best to do it. He hath a lady wiser, fairer, truer, than ever Greek did compass in his arms, and will tomorrow, with his trumpet call, midway between your tents and walls of Troy, to rouse a Grecian that is true in love. If any come, Hector shall honour him. If none, he'll say in Troy when he retires, the Grecian dames are sunburnt, and not worth the splinter of a lance. Even so much.
This shall be told our lovers, Lord Aeneas. If none of them have soul in such a kind, we left them all at home. But we are soldiers, and may that soldier a mere recreant prove that means not, hath not, or is not in love. If then one is, or hath, or means to be, that one meets Hector. If none else, I'll be he.
Tell him of Nestor, one that was a man when Hector's grandsire's out. He is old now, but if there be not in our Grecian mould one noble man that hath one spark of fire to answer for his love, tell him from me, I'll hide my silver beard in a gold beaver, and in my vat base put this withered brawn, and meeting him will tell him that my lady was fairer than his grandam, and as chaste as may be in the world. His youth in flood, I'll pawn this truth of my 3 drops of blood.
Now heavens forbid such scarcity of youth.
Amen.
Fair Lord Aeneas, let me touch your hand. To our pavilion shall I lead you first. Achilles shall have word of this intent. So shall each lord of Greece from tent to tent. Yourself shall feast with us before you go, and find the welcome of a noble foe.
Nestor.
What says Ulysses?
I have a young conception in my brain. Be you my time to bring it to some shape.
What is't?
This 'tis. Blunt wedges rive hard knots. The seeded pride that hath to this maturity blown up in rank Achilles must or now be propped, or, shedding, breed a nursery of like evil to overbulk us all.
Well, and how?
This challenge that the gallant Hector sends, however it is spread in general name, relates in purpose only to Achilles.
True, the purpose is perspicuous even as substance, whose grossness little characters sum up, and in the publication make no strain, but that Achilles, were his brain as barren as banks of Libya, though Apollo knows is dry enough, will with great speed of judgment, aye with celerity, find Hector's purpose pointing on him.
And wake him to the answer, think you?
Why, it is most meet. May you well suppose that can from Hector bring his honour off, if not? Though it be a sportful combat, yet in this trial much opinion dwells. For here the Trojans taste our dearest repute with their finest palate. And trust to me, Ulysses, our imputation shall be oddly poised in this wild action. For the success, although particular, shall give a scantling of good or bad unto the general. And in such indexes, although small pricks to their subsequent volumes, there is seen the baby figure of the giant mass of things to come at large. It is supposed he that meets Hector issues from our choice, and choice being mutual act of all our souls makes merit her election, and doth boil, as 'twere, from forth us all, a man distilled out of our virtues. Who, miscarrying, what heart from hence receives the conquering power to steal a strong opinion to themselves? Which, entertained, limbs are his instruments in no less working than our swords and bows directive by the limbs.
Give pardon to my speech. Therefore, 'tis meet Achilles meet not Hector. Now, let us, like merchants, first show foul wares and think perchance they'll sell. If not, the luster of the better shall exceed by showing the worse first. Do not consent that ever Hector and Achilles meet, for both our honour and our shame in this are dogged with 2 strange followers.
I see them not with my old eyes.
What are they?
What glory our Achilles shares from Hector, were he not proud, we all should share with him. But he already is too insolent. And we were better parch in Afric's sun than in the pride and salt scorn of his eyes should he scape Hector fair. If he were foiled, why then we did our main opinion crush in taint of our best man. Mm-hmm. No. Make a lottery, and by device, let blockish Ajax draw the sort to fight with Hector. Among ourselves, give him allowance as the worthier man, for that will physic the great Myrmidon, who broils in loud applause, and make him fall his crest that prouder than blue iris bends. If the dull, brainless Ajax come safe off, we'll dress him up in voices. If he fail, yet go we under our opinion still that we have better men. But hit or miss, our project's life this shape of sense assumes. Ajax employed plucks down Achilles' plume.
Ulysses, now I begin to relish thy advice, and I will give a taste of it forthwith to Agamemnon. Go we to him straight. Two curs shall tame each other. Pride alone must tar the mastiffs on, as 'twere their bone.
Ascites.
Agamemnon, how if he had boils, full, all over, generally?
Ascites.
And those boils did run, say so. Did not the general run then? Were not better, Bocchicor?
Dog!
Then there would come some matter from him. I see none now.
Bitch wolf, son, canst thou not hear? Feel it!
What a plague of grease upon thee, thou mongrel beef-witted lord!
Speak then, thou vinous leaven, speak! Beat thee into handsomeness.
I'll sooner rail thee into wit and holiness. I think thy horse will sooner coronation than thou learn a prayer with a book. Thou canst strike, canst thou? A red mariner, thy jade's tricks.
Toadstool, learn me the proclamation.
Dost thou think I've no sense thou strikest me thus?
A proclamation.
Thou art proclaimed a fool, I think.
Oh, do not, Porpentine, do not. My fingers itch.
I would thou didst itch from head to foot, and I had the scratching of thee. I would make thee the loathsomest scab in Greece. When thou art forth in the incursions, thou strikes as slow as another.
I say the proclamation!
Thou grumblest and railest every hour on Achilles, and thou art as full of envy at his greatness as Cerberus is at Proserpina's beauty. Aye! That thou barkst at him.
Mistress, that I teach.
Thou should strike him.
Cobloaf!
He would pun thee into shivers with his fist as a sailor breaks a biscuit.
Oh, awesome cow.
Do, thou stool for a witch. Aye, do, thou sudden-witted lord. Thou hast no more brain in thy head than I have in mine elbows. An acidicum may tutor thee. Thou scurvy, valiant ass. Oh, thou art here but to thrash Trojans, and thou art bought and sold amongst those of any wit, like a barbarian slave. Aye, thou used to beat me. I will begin at thy heel and tell what thou art by inches. Thou thing of no bowels, thou!
You dog!
You scurvy lord!
You cur!
Mousy idiot! Do! Do! Camel, do! Do!
Why, how now, Ajax? Wherefore do you this? How now, Thersites? What's the matter, man?
You see him there, do you?
Aye, what's the matter?
Nay, look upon him.
So I do. What's the matter?
Nay, but regard him well.
Well? Why, I do so.
But yet you look not well upon him, for whomsoever you take him to be, he's Ajax.
I know that fool.
Ah, but that fool knows not himself.
Therefore I beat thee.
No. What modicums of wit he utters. His evasions have ears, thus long. I've bobbed his brain more than he's beat my bones. I will buy 9 sparrows for a penny, and his pia mater is not worth a 9th part of a sparrow. This lord, Achilles. Ajax, who wears his wit in his belly and his guts in his head. I'll tell you what I say of him.
What?
I say this Ajax.
Hey, good Ajax.
Has not so much wit.
Nay, I must hold you.
Will stop the eye of Helen's needle. For whom he comes to fight.
He's fool.
I would have peace and quietness, but the fool will not. He there, that he. Look you there.
Oh, that damn cur. Will
you set your wit to a fool?
No, I warrant you, for a fool's worth shaming.
Good words, Thersites.
What's the quarrel?
I bade the vile owl go learn me the tenor of the proclamation, and he rails upon me.
I serve thee not.
Go to.
I serve here voluntary.
The last service was sufferance. 'Twas not voluntary. No man is beaten voluntary. Ajax was here the voluntary, and you was under an impress.
Oh, e'en so. A great deal of your wit, too, lies in your sinews, or else there be liars. Hector shall have a great catch if he knock out either of your brains. He were as good crack a fusty nut with no kernel.
What, with me too, Thersites?
There's Ulysses and old Nestor, whose wit was mouldy ere your grandsires had nails on their toes. Yoke you like draft oxen and make you plough up the wall.
What?
Yes, good sooth. Two Achilles, two Ajax.
I shall cut out your tongue.
Tis no matter, I shall speak as much wit as thou art.
No more words, Thersites. Peace.
I will hold my peace when Achilles' brooch bids me, shall I?
There's for you, Patroclus.
I'll see you hanged like cut poles ere I come any more to your tents. I will keep where there's wit stirring and leave the faction of fools.
A good riddance.
Marry, this, sir, is proclaimed through all our host. That Hector, by the fifth hour of the sun, will, with a trumpet twixt our tents and Troy, tomorrow morning call some knight to arms that hath a stomach. And such a one that dare maintain, I know not what. 'Tis trash. Farewell.
Farewell? Who shall answer him?
I know not. 'Tis put to lottery. Otherwise, he knew his man.
Oh, meaning you? I will go learn more of it.
After so many hours, lives, speeches spent, thus once again, says Nestor from the Greeks, deliver Helen, and all damage else, as honor, loss of time, travail, expense, wounds, friends, and what else dear that is consumed in hot digestion of this cormorant war, shall be struck off. Hector, what say you to it?
Though no man lesser fears the Greeks than I, as far as touches my particular, yet, dread Priam, there is no lady of more softer bowels, more spongy to suck in the sense of fear, more ready to cry out who knows what follows than Hector is. The wound of peace is surety, surety secure. But modest doubt is called the beacon of the wise, the tent that searches to the bottom of the worst. Let Helen go. Since the first sword was drawn about this question, every tithe soul amongst many thousand dimes have been as dear as Helen. I mean of ours. If we have lost so many tenths of ours to guard a thing not ours, nor worth to us had it our name, the value of one ten, what merit's in that reason which denies the yielding of her up?
Fie, my brother. Weigh you the worth and honor of a king so great as our dread father in a scale of common ounces? Will you with counters sum the past proportion of his infinite, and buckle in a waist most fathomless with spans and inches so diminutive as fears and reasons? Fie, for godly shame!
No marvel, though, you bite so sharp at reasons. You are so empty of them. Should not our father bear the great sway of his affairs with reasons? Because your speech has none that tells him so.
You are for dreams and slumbers, brother priest. You fire your gloves with reason. Here are your reasons. You know an enemy intends you harm. You know a sword employed is perilous, and reason flies the object of all harm. Who marvels then when Helenus beholds the Grecian and his sword, if he do set the very wings of reason to his heels, and fly like chidden Mercury from Jove, or like a star disorbed? Nay, if we talk of reason, let's shut our gates and sleep. Manhood and honor should have hare hearts, would they but fat their thoughts with this crammed reason. Reason and respect make livers pale and lustihood deject.
Brother, she's not worth what she doth cost the holding.
What's aught but as 'tis valued?
But value dwells not in particular will. It holds his estimate and dignity as well wherein 'tis precious of itself as in the prizer. 'Tis mad idolatry to make the service greater than the god, and the will dotes that is inclinable to what infectiously itself affects without some image of the affected merit.
I take today a wife, and my election is led on in the conduct of my will. My will enkindled by mine eyes and ears, two traded pilots twixt the dangerous shores of will and judgment. How may I avoid, although my will distaste what it elected, the wife I chose? There can be no evasion to blench from this, and to stand firm by honor. We turn not back the silks upon the merchant when we have soiled them, nor the remainder viands we do not throw in unrespective sieve, because we now are full. It was thought meet Paris should do some vengeance on the Greeks. Your breath of full consent bellied his sails. The seas and winds, old wranglers, took a truce and did him service. He touched the ports desired. And for an old aunt, whom the Greeks held captive, he brought a Grecian queen, whose youth and freshness wrinkles Apollo's and makes stale the morning. Why keep we her? The Grecians keep our aunt. Is she worth keeping? Why, she is a pearl whose price hath launched above 1,000 ships and turned crowned kings to merchants. If you'll avouch 'twas wisdom Paris went, as you must needs, for you all cried, go, go. If you will confess he brought home noble prize, as you must needs, for you all clapped your hands and cried, inestimable, why be you now the issue of your proper wisdom's rate, and do a deed that fortune never did, beggar the estimation which you prized richer than sea and land? Oh, theft most base, that we have stolen what we do fear to keep, but thieves, unworthy of a thing so stolen, that in their country did them that disgrace we fear to warrant in our native place.
Cry, Trojans, cry!
What noise, what shriek is
cry,
this?
Cry, Trojans!
It's our bad sister, I can hear her voice.
Cry, Trojans, cry! Lend me 10,000 eyes, and I will fill them with prophetic tears. Virgins and boys, mid-aged and wrinkled old, soft infancy that nothing can but cry, add to my clamor, let us pay betimes a moiety of that mass of moan to come. Cry, Trojans, cry! Practice your eyes with tears. Troy must not be, nor goodly Ilion stand. Our fireband brother Paris burns us all. Cry, Trojans, cry, a Helen and a woe. Cry, cry, Troy burns, or else let Helen go.
Success in a bad cause can qualify the same.
Why, brother Hector, we may not think the justice of each act such or no other than event doth form it, nor once deject the courage of our minds, because Cassandra's mad. Her brain-sick raptures cannot distaste the goodness of a quarrel, which hath our several honors all engaged to make it gracious. For my private part, I am no more touched than all Priam's sons. And Jove forbid there should be done amongst us such things as might offend the weakest spleen to fight for and maintain.
Else might the world convince of levity as well my undertakings as your counsels. But I attest the gods, your full consent gave wings to my prepension and cut off all fears attending on so dire a project. For what, alas, can these my single arms? What provocation is in one man's valor to stand the push and enmity of those this quarrel would excite? Yet I protest, were I alone to pass the difficulties, and had as ample power as I have will, Paris should ne'er retract what he hath done, nor faint in the pursuit.
Paris, you speak like one besotted on your sweet delights.
You have the honey still, but these the gall. So to be valiant is no praise at all.
Sir, I propose not merely to myself the pleasures such a beauty brings with it, but I would have the soil of her fair rape wiped off in honorable keeping her. What treason were it to the ransacked queen, disgrace to your great worths, and shame to me now to deliver her possession up on terms of base compulsion? Can it be that so degenerate a strain as this should once set footing in your generous bosoms? There's not the meanest spirit on our party without a heart to dare or sword to draw when Helen is defended, nor none so noble whose life were ill bestowed or death unfamed where Helen is the subject. Then I say, well may we fight for her whom we know well the world's large spaces cannot parallel.
Paris and Troilus, you have both said well, and on the cause and question now in hand have glozed but superficially. Not much unlike young men, whom Aristotle thought unfit to hear moral philosophy. The reasons you allege do more conduce to the hot passion of distempered blood than to make up a free determination twixt right and wrong. For pleasure and revenge have ears more deaf than adders to the voice of any true decision. Nature craves all dues be rendered to their owners. Now, what nearer debt in all humanity than wife is to the husband? If this law of nature be corrupted through affection, and that great minds of partial indulgence to their benumbed wills resist the same, there is a law in each well-ordered nation to curb those raging appetites that are most disobedient and refractory. If Helen then be wife to Sparta's king, as it is known she is, these moral laws of nature and of nations speak aloud to have her back returned. Thus to persist in doing wrong extenuates not wrong, but makes it much more heavy. Hector's opinion is this in way of truth. Yet nevertheless, my sprightly brethren, I prepend to you in resolution to keep Helen still, for it is a cause that hath no mean dependence upon our joint and several dignities.
Why, there you touched the life of our design. Were it not glory that we're more affected than the performance of our heaving spleens, I would not wish a drop of Trojan blood spent more than her defense. But, worthy Hector, she is a theme of honor and renown, a spur to valiant and magnanimous deeds, whose present courage may beat down our foes, and fame in time to come canonize us. For I presume brave Hector would not lose so rich advantage of a promised glory as smiles upon the forehead of this action for the wide world's revenue.
I'm yours, you valiant offspring of great Priamus. I have a roisting challenge sent amongst the dull and factious nobles of the Greeks will strike amazement to their drowsy spirits. I was advertised their great general slept, whilst emulation in the army crept. This, I presume, will wake him.